this is a verse spoken by the gopis right here in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. This is from the 10th canto, 31st chapter, text number 9. Many of you might know this. Tabukatam tam tapta jivanam. Karmaiditam kama sapaham. Shravana mangalam srimadatatam. Bhuvi gunante bhuvi dajana. Did you read Tava? Your. Kata Amritam, the nectar of words. Tapta Jivanam, life for those aggrieved in the material world. Kavidi, by great thinkers. Iditam, described. Kamasa Apaham, that which drives away sinful reactions. Shravana Mangalam, giving spiritual benefit when heard. Srimat, filled with spiritual power. Atatam, broadcast all over the world. Bhuvi, in the material world. Garanti, chant and spread. Yay. Those who Borida, most beneficent. Jena, persons. Translation by His Migration of Prabhupada. Actually, this was done by Vidyananda Maharaj and Gopi Puranada. This is after Prabhupada passed. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are the most munificent. Purport. King Pratap Rudra recited this verse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Lord Jagannath's Rathyatra festival. While the Lord was resting in a garden, King Pratapurudra humbly entered and began massaging his legs and lotus feet. Then the king recited the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Songs of the Gopis. Chaitanya Charitamrita relates that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this verse that we just chanted, beginning Tabukatamritam, he immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced King Pratapurudra. The incident is described in detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in his edition, Srila Prabhupada has given extensive commentary on it. Sukram Protavachalam Pongulam Haite, Yet Kupavaram Haite, Sukhuvina Dhamma, Vansikapa Tubhishcha, Vasindu Devita, Pakitanam Havane, Vaishnavyo. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhupada Jana, Shri Vaidhi Gara, Sivasa Gora. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this verse is explaining how when people receive this knowledge, it gives them an opportunity to free themselves from so much future suffering. Now, being the Kali Yuga, people are engaged in many sinful activities, and they don't know the result or the amount of suffering that they're going to receive for their sinful activities. For instance, it's said that someone engages in illicit sex, they in hell they embrace a red hot form of a woman or man. Very intense suffering. People that eat meat, they eat their own flesh. People that that torture others, especially says Brahmins, they go through a sugar cane press. Pretty heavy. So in some religions they say that if someone is sinful, they go to hell and suffer forever. But that wouldn't be very kind. Of course, they're sinful people, but it's not that there's eternal suffering. They get the reactions for their sinful activities, and they get a chance again. But by distributing books now, we could actually put them on another course, you know, away from this course of suffering so much in the hellish planets. And not only that, do we keep them avoiding such a hellish situation, but they can go on the higher path back to the spiritual world. These books are actually tickets to the kingdom of God. Very inexpensive. Lord Chaitanya has slashed prices, reduced prices. Get a book for another. I heard they have these mini books here now. 5 rupees. Very inexpensive ticket back to Godhead. And we shouldn't underestimate these small books, because there's an instance of a devotee that was distributing these little pamphlets, you know, these transcendental teachings of Lord Chaitanya, or no, transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Small, 18 pages, you know, we have these little pamphlets. So they were distributing these in New York City. This is back in the early 70s. And one person got one of these pamphlets and he took it to his flat and he read it. And he was shocked that anybody could be speaking so strongly against sense gratification. Because, you know, that's what life is about. Sense gratification. Prabhupada was just smashing it. Again and again, he was completely shocked. He was shocked so much that he was thinking, I gotta get more of these books. this is something special. Nobody talks like this. There's something really here. So he got some more books. But he couldn't get one particular book from the fifth canto. So he went to some devotees. He knew there was devotees in New York City distributing books, so he went to one and asked her if she had this fifth canto. She said, no, but I think we can find it at the temple. We can go to the temple. He said, no, I don't want to go to the temple. He had faith in the books, but not the devotees. He didn't want to go to the temple. So she said, anyway, at least you can give some donation. And he said, well, I don't have my checkbook on me. I don't have any cash on my checkbook. That's okay, we can go to your flat. And he's like, oh, yeah. All right. So they went to his apartment, high-rise apartment. He said, you wait here, I'll be back. So he came back with his checkbook. And he said, I'm only going to give you $2,000. She said, no, you have to give $5,000. Now this is 1972. $5,000 back then is like maybe $20,000, something like that. Yeah, it's a lot of money. And he's like, oh, I can't believe it. All right, about $5,000. Get it. I think she got one book or two books or something. She didn't have many books with him. So then he's still reading books. And then he meets another Sankirtan Guru somewhere, and he was talking to him for a while. He said, oh, by the way, you know, the author of these books, he's coming to New York City. He'll be here next week. So this person was thinking, wow, the author of the books. Author, I can't wait to meet this person. So he decided that he's going to surrender and just visit the temple one time just to see the author. So went to the temple. He went there just when Prabhupada was beginning the class. He sat in class, and when the class finished, he decided, I've got to join. So he joined and became a Bhukta Shuddha himself. And that's Devavita Swami. So now he travels all over the world, inspiring people to also distribute books and read Prabhupada's books. And the lady that received the donation and was trying to, that was Devi Shakti. She's right here. Is she here? She was a very special book distributor. There was another instance where there was one person in New York City there also. And he was another Sankirtan devotee approached him. And he was showing some interest. And this is again Devi Shakti. She stacked him up with books, five big books. And she said, yeah, we'll just ask for a donation. And he said, but I can't reach my wallet. My hands are all full. That's all right, I'll get your wallet. She pulled out the wallet, took the money out. And then a policeman comes and says, what's going on here? And she says, oh, this man's getting some books from me. And the policeman asks, oh, that's okay? She, notice she just took all your money. And she said, that's okay, I just need some bus money at least. Can I get some bus money? So she said, okay, here's some bus money. And that was another Swami, Chandravali Swami. Yeah. So she had a lot to do with some of our Swamis becoming devotees. So yeah, book distribution is a real adventure. And yeah, it takes people off of this path in which they have no idea how much they're going to suffer. And it puts them on this royal road back to the spiritual world. And people don't know, just like many of us, we didn't know that we get a reaction for so many sinful activities. But it's karma is a very, very intense law. There's so many laws that people aren't aware of. Like, we had no idea, many of you maybe. But us Westerners, we had no idea that it was wrong to even eat meat. You know, it was perfectly all right. You know, it's the American way. Or drinking. In the hell, if there's people that were drinking liquor, they're forced to have, was it melted iron? Molten iron forced down their throat for people that drink alcohol. And a lot of people drink alcohol now, unfortunately. It's on the rise. People don't know. So by giving these books out, we're helping people understand what their future can be. It can be like really down, really, or it can be up. You can go back to the spiritual world. Even with one of these little 5-rupee books, they could get the absolute truth. These books are very powerful, extremely powerful. So this verse also goes on to say that this knowledge, it creates good fortune for their life. There's one devotee, Vaisheshika Prabhu, many of you may know, he's a very great Vaishnava within our society, one of the generals of our book distribution, if not the main general in our society. So the way he distributes books sometimes, he tells them that if they don't read, he said, even if you don't read, this book, if you just have it in your home, it's going to create good fortune for you. If you just have it in your home, if you just have it, it's going to create good fortune. So this one lady that he was explaining this to, she said, all right, let's see what happens. So she gave a donation, walked away with the book. And he was speaking to somebody else, and 10 minutes later she walked by and she waved the book. She said, "It's already working. I got an upgrade up to first class." Well, first class flight, you know. So she did have just a standard. I guess it was full, so they gave her a first class seat. Yeah. So it was all right. You see, I told you. And much more good fortune. Can't conceive. People get these books and they learn about who they are. They learn about who God is. They learn about the absolute truth. How to be completely satisfied. And that you're distributing books here in Vrindavan. It's like how much good fortune you're all going to receive. Inconceivable. What is it? There's some statement that if one performs service in Vrindavan, that the service is multiplied like 1,000 times? Or? Yeah, so it's... That's pretty good. It's a very auspicious place to distribute books. And most of you, I believe, you have tables, right?
I have
tables.
Five
book tables. Okay. So, generally when devotees go out and distribute books, they have to stop people. They have to go out, "Excuse me, sir." And sometimes it's hard to stop people. But you have a table, so people come up to you.
When we go outside,
you go traveling. Sometimes you go traveling also. So this is generally it's austere to go out and approach people and convince them to take a book. But here people are coming to you. But still it's austere. Now summer is approaching, it's hot, and you're still distributing books, right? You don't stop because it's hot, right? So that's an austerity. It's very hot, some places very cold. I've been in places where it's so cold that you have to go into a building and slap your fingers together because you lose your feeling. It's so cold. And some of it's so cold, one friend of mine, he paid 200 euros, which how many rupees would that be?
It was 13,000.
Huh?
13,000.
12 or 13,000 rupees for a pair of gloves. You probably don't even know what gloves are, right? Gloves is where you put cloth on your hand because it's so cold. It's India, people they never wear gloves, right? Maybe in the wintertime you have gloves.
Okay.
200 euros, 13,000 rupees for a pair of gloves. Because it's so cold. Yeah. So that's another austerity. Cold, the heat. A lot of people, they say no. Yeah. That's another austerity. I started out distributing books in Miami. And Miami, Florida, is famous as being the rudest place in America. In other words, this is a place where people are the nastiest, most unkind. Okay. So I got a lot of no's. That's very difficult. When I first started, so I was thinking, "Oh my God, I came here to this nice spiritual movement, and now I'm out here doing this. I can't believe it." Yeah. So that night, I went home and I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, and I read this verse: "Yam hi navyati antyate purusam purusarsava samadrupa sukhamdiram somnifayakalpa." Krishna says, "One who is not disturbed by happiness or distress, heat and cold, and honor and dishonor, and the steadiness certainly attains me." So I read that and yes, I have to be steady. Even though it's very difficult, it was also very hot. Miami is the hottest place in America. So I was thinking, even though it's very difficult, very austere, this is something that is very pleasing to Prabhupada. So I continued doing it. This is 1978, when book distribution was the main activity, actually, within our society. So, then shortly after, this is when we were doing the street lights back then. And shortly after, I started distributing books in other areas, colleges, and airports. But so many amazing things happened. It's a real adventure.
distribution.
But like I said this morning, when you go out on book distribution, you feel the reciprocation of Krishna. You go on book distribution and you meet Krishna. You actually meet Krishna. It's very clear Krishna is here. And it's stated also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nahantashtami Bhagavate, Yoginam Priti Isuva, Tatatashtami Dara, Yathubayam Bhagavate. Krishna, he says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis, but I am wherever my devotees are spreading my glories. So when we go out on book distribution, or when we're distributing books at the table, or going out, travel, Krishna is there with you, and he's very much pleased by your doing this activity. Srila Prabhupada, he used to say that India is famous as a country that begs. Poor country. Of course, now it's on the rise, yeah, financially. Hopefully it doesn't rise too much. We get more and more bewildered by wealth and all these things like the Western countries. So he said generally India is known as a country that begs. But he said, I have not left India to beg. I have left India to give. And this knowledge is the most valuable knowledge on the planet. It's a great treasure, actually, this knowledge. So we're benefiting people so much by them receiving this knowledge. So we want to convince as many people as possible about this knowledge. So to do that, we have to be sincere, right? So where does the sincerity come? Let's open this up. How do we, what's a way to develop our sincerity? Anybody say? Huh? Associating with people that are sincere. Yes, very good. Especially associating for, we're speaking about book distribution, associating with people who are sincere, enthusiastic to distribute books. Right? And then you'll also become enthusiastic to distribute books. And you want to also give this knowledge out. Also chanting our vows. Prabhupada said that if we want to be very sincere in our chanting of our japa, then chant your vows uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Of course, if you chant, let's say, 5 rounds before Mangalarti, and you chant your other 11 rounds after Mangalarti. That's also uninterrupted because Mangalarti is also chanting. But another time he said the best time to chant your 16 rounds is before Mangalarti. So that's up a notch. Right? Because this early morning hour is the best time for spiritual activity. So I heard this instruction by Prabhupada, best time to chant your round before Mangalarti. I heard this about maybe 25 years ago. So I thought, well, Prabhupada said that's the best time, so maybe I should do that. So I've been doing that for about 25 years. It's very nice, because after Mangalarti, your rounds are chanted, then you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you read Bhagavad Gita, you study verses. And then you go to the rest, you go to Srimad Bhagavatam class. And by the, you know, after prasadam, you know, you're so surcharged after reading the Bhagavatam, reading the Bhagavad Gita, chanting your rounds early. You're like ready to go. And this is also important that we read Srila Prabhupada's. Many times Prabhupada said that you're distributing the books. Are you reading the books? He would ask Sankirtan devotees this, and many times they wouldn't be able to reply. And probably he would become upset. He said, you're distributing the books, but then someone asks you about the books, and then you say, oh, we don't read the books, we just distribute them. Prabhupada said, not good. We have to also read the books. And this is another way to develop our sincerity. we become inspired. Because Prabhupada, there's no one that's more enthusiastic and inspired to distribute books than Prabhupada. He was the first book distributor. Right here, not too far away, New Delhi. He was distributing books right there, experiencing the heat that you're experiencing here. So much so that he actually had a heat stroke, collapsed, doing what we're doing, book distribution. So compassionate, Srila Prabhupada. Elderly gentleman, educated, scholar, compassionately going out in the heat of New Delhi in the summer, giving this the BTGs and Srimad Bhagavatams. And also, there was another book that he distributed, Easy Journey to Other Planets, that was printed here in New Delhi. So I was speaking about how these books, they give an opportunity for people to go back to the spiritual world. So this book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, that was the main point, that we can give up our materialistic life and go to the spiritual world. So he distributed one to one of the gentlemen there in New Delhi, and this person saw Prabhupada about a month later, and he said, you know, I read your book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, so if we go back to the spiritual world, we don't come back here anymore? He asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, that's right, you go back, you don't come here anymore. He said, no, I'm not interested. This is the dullness of Kali Yuga. You go to a place, there's no death, no old age, no disease, no birth, no anxiety. Krishna's there, just eternally, you know, everything's, you know, completely in harmony. No, I'm not interested. And here there's death, there's old age, there's so many problems. So this is Maya. So here everybody's in Maya. The spiritual world, everybody is with Krishna, devoted to Krishna. So we're trying to convince people to get out of Maya. And it's also a little awkward that we're also trying to get out of Maya. Right? We're trying to be Krishna conscious ourselves. So the more Krishna conscious we are, the more we're able to convince people to also come out of Maya. So then we have to hear, I mentioned this morning, we have to hear with the rapt attention, we have to hear very nicely. And then our faith will grow. Prabhupada says in one purport that devotees of the Lord have no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna because they are completely free of sin. And this is the state of divine love. Beautiful little statement there. Completely free of all doubt and complete faith. Now previously we had faith in material sense gratification. Right? We thought that we would be happy by material sense gratification. And then somehow, by Krishna's mercy, that idea was shook up. Right? And then we started searching, looking for something higher. Isn't it? Most of us. Maybe somebody was here born into a devotee family, maybe. That's rare. So now we're trying to develop this faith in Krishna. But the more we're free of sinful desires, the more our faith in Krishna increases. Not only gross, but subtle. You know, this is the subtle mind we're speaking about this morning also. So we have to pray to Krishna. And there's something I was thinking about after the class that interesting. I was speaking about how we had to become free of fear or defense, right? Eden speaking, made defending, I was speaking about that. So this, there is something that we fear, though. We fear Maya. In the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th chapter, Krishna explains to Uddhava how a devotee should pray to him in the form of the deity. Interesting. Here Krishna, the deity, is telling how to pray to him, the deity in the temple. He says, Prapanam paimami sabhitam ritu koharnavats. The devotee prays to Krishna like this. Please protect me who am trying to surrender unto you. I am very fearful of this material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. So this is how we pray to Krishna. Please protect me, who I'm trying to surrender unto. I'm very fearful of this material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. So we should have a great fear of Maya, of the illusion energy, and pray for this attraction to Krishna. We're trying to become free of attachment, material attachment, but we're trying to become attached to Krishna, like anything. The more we're attached to Krishna, the more we become detached from Maya. And the more we become attached to Krishna, the more we want to give Krishna to others. I remember Devi Shakti, she wrote once, she said when she first got the books, she was thinking, this is the highest truth. There's no truth higher than this. I gotta get this knowledge out to the people. But she had never met a devotee before. She was thinking, how can I get this knowledge out? And then she met the devotees and she heard about book distribution. So then she started the book distribution. And she was very happy to hear that we had this. At an ISKCON, we had this program of book distribution. So I think she joined in 1970, anybody know? 69? Way back here. She still distributes books. And she said, she sent me something about, I'm writing a book actually about book distribution, so she wrote me some things about her realization. She said she wants to distribute books to her last breath. Very good job. Mother Devi Shakti Bhukki. So we should have this mood. So many people, they're dedicating their life to sense gratification, right? Practically everybody, to their last breath, sense gratification. In America, I don't know how they do it here, but in America, if someone finds out that they're going to die in like 5 days, what do? Disney World, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Las Vegas, you know, these, all right, let's enjoy as much as we can before I die. In India, what do they do? Probably the same thing, right? They find out they're going to die. Just try to enjoy as much as you can. Yeah? The what? Oh. So they have a group of people in New Zealand that donate for people that are getting ready to die, so they have nice facilities to enjoy as much as they want before they die. Very benevolent, right?
The bucket list.
The bucket?
The bucket list. What you do before you die. Uh-huh. It's all like jumping out of an airplane, eating a fancy meal, and all that stuff.
All right. And in prison also. Mm-hmm. You get the last meal. All right, what do you want? This is your last meal. What do you want to eat? You know, all right, you know. They get whatever they want. Pizza or roast beef. This is your last time to enjoy. Yeah. But what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Devotee. Thinks, all right, I'm going to die, let me know about Krishna. Yeah. So this is a devotee. So we should also dedicate our life somehow to our last breath, to just distribute this knowledge out. This is what's needed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. This is what has to be given out to the people of the world. When Prabhupada was leaving his body, right here, the only thing he wanted to hear at one point was the book distribution results. And not just the different temples' results or the different countries, but he wanted to hear each individual, each devotee, who it was, how many books he distributed. Tama Krishna was just reading off the names and what they're, and Prabhupada was very pleased, very happy. Because this is the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee. They just want to see everybody happy. And they know that by this book distribution, people will become happy. Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. This is the mission of devotees, that let everyone be happy. Nice mission. We just want to see that everybody is happy. And it gives pain, Paradukadupi, to see others suffering. This is a devotee. It gives pain. Prabhupada was one time driving down the street in Los Angeles. And as he was driving, he looked over to the right, and there was a big green lawn. And there were some guys on the lawn, and they had these sticks. And Prabhupada asked the devotee, what are they doing? And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, men, they have a stick, and there's a hole in the ground, and there's a ball, and they try to hit the ball in the hole. Well, golfing. And Prabhupada heard that, and he started crying. He said, it's simply another way to forget Krishna. So many ways people are trying to forget Krishna. So he was so compassionate, just crying. Because he knows that none of these things will bring happiness. The only thing that will bring happiness is that they realize that they're not the body, but the soul and the part of Krishna and the spirit of Krishna. So this is a pure devotee of Krishna. So then the gopis, they go on to say that those persons who are distributing this knowledge, they are the most munificent. Because they're giving what is needed in society. In the early days, there was one Sankirtan leader who wrote in the Sankirtan newsletter that the Sankirtan devotees are like gopis, because the gopis, they want to bring other people to Krishna more than they want to go. They want to bring other gopis to Krishna more than they want to go to Krishna. So this was became a little bit of a controversy. Some of the people that weren't distributors, book distributors, they started thinking, oh, look, the book distributors are becoming sahajiyas. They're thinking they're gopis. So it became a controversy. So one big advantage of having Srila Prabhupada on the planet is whenever there was a controversy, write Prabhupada, and then he writes back. You know, whatever he says, that's the decision. So they did that. They wrote Prabhupada and explained the little controversy. Prabhupada said, this is correct. That those persons who are distributing books, they're also in the mood of the gopis, because they're trying to bring others to Krishna. And this is the mood of the gopis. They derive more pleasure seeing others go to Krishna than themselves going to Krishna. Pretty amazing. This is the selfless. Remember, I was speaking this morning, this is one of the worms, right? Selfishness. So this book distribution, it's a selfless act. Especially when there's an austerity, especially when it's difficult, then we get real recognition. When it's really hot here in Vrindavan, and then you continue on, then you get special mercy, because it's more difficult. And you know Queen Kunti, she says, Vipida santutas chasva tatra tatra jugat guru. She says, she prays to Krishna, please Krishna, give me calamity. Because when these calamities come, when these difficulties come, then I take shelter of you. And by taking shelter of you, I overcome the repetition of birth and death. So this word, bhavata darshan, this means your darshan. Bhavata darshan. And then there's bhavo, that means the darshan of the material world. Bhava darshan. Bhava darshan. Bhavata and bhava darshan. So bhava darshan means darshan of the material world. So we have a choice. We can have darshan of Krishna, or we can continue having darshan of the material world. Right? Which darshan do you want? You know, we want darshan of Krishna. Right? So the best way, the easiest way to get the darshan of Krishna is to undergo austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. Nunam pramata purtanam. Nayam deho dehabhanam ramakri. This is by Rishabdev. He says, of persons who have accepted material bodies, those persons who have accepted the human form of life, they shouldn't waste their time in engaging in the activities of the animals, eating, sleeping, mating, depending. But they should utilize their time to engage in austerities. Because by these austerities, one becomes purified, and experiences actual happiness. Prabhupada told the teachers of the Gurukul, you should teach the children the joy of austerity. Generally, we don't think of austerity as joyful, right? But he said, joy, the joy of austerity. It's actually joyful. Once you surrender, it's nice. It's like some of the most difficult days that I've had on book distribution were also days when I felt myself advancing the most. And so these difficulties are actually a blessing in disguise. Because this is the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. And this is actually the price we pay for pure devotional service. This difficulty we undergo is the price we pay for pure devotional service. Not rupees. Difficulty. Austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. So we have a few minutes left. I believe there's going to be a Bhagavad Gita class. Is there any questions? Yes. This is our question down here.
That's okay. That's good.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Roji, as you mentioned, mobile book distribution, the mode of gopis. Maharaj, in our last year we have paid for book distribution. I want to share my experience. Actually, by distributing books, we are in the mode, means we can assume that we are in the mode of gopis, because we are pulling others to, pushing others towards Krishna. But simultaneously, hankering for the scores. I should...
Hankering for?
The score, highest score.
Oh, hankering for the big score.
Big score. So this is little bit, means one side we are trying to, means to the most, and one... And most of the times I heard this also, that Prabhupada always means very enthusiastic to hear the scores.
Yeah.
So what was that mode? And so please.
Okay, this is a good Sankirtan question. It quite often comes up. Don't be so concerned about the score. Because the result of being too absorbed and trying to become number one or two or three is that you lose the real vision. You lose the pure vision of just trying to give people Krishna. Don't worry about this. Try your best. Try your best to please Krishna. Don't worry about the score. Actually, Vaisesika Prabhu in California, he doesn't have any individual scores. There's no individual scores. It's a group effort. It's the San Jose Temple. No individual scores. Just to avoid that, so people don't have to worry about that. Because sometimes the devotees get so absorbed in, you know, getting one or getting two, and they just lose the vision. And you get material consciousness. You just start thinking about numbers, you know, rather than thinking about Krishna, giving Krishna. So, anyway, that's something. Think about it. Yeah, don't worry. Just try to meditate on the soul and trying to get that soul to take a book about Krishna. And another thing I wanted to mention is that when you meet people that are interested, get their information, phone number, email, because we may never see them again. They're showing interest, so we should try to encourage them. And it's so easy now. Practically everybody has a cell phone. You know, call them up every once in a while, and hey, how are you doing? What happened to the festival? Come and check it out. Even in California, you know, we're able to do that. We'll just speak of India. Here it's very easy for people to become favorable to Krishna consciousness, because it's part of your culture. But in America, very difficult. It is not part of the culture. But just not too long ago, I distributed a book to someone. He was very enthusiastic. And I got his number, I was contacting him, you know, keeping him in touch. Now he's in the Bhakti program, he's a devotee now, Los Angeles Temple. Yeah. So we should try to encourage the book distributors here like that to get information, call them up. Prabhupada called it fanning the spark. You get a spark and you want a fire, and you fan the spark and you get a fire. And he gave the example of the three modes of nature. Mm-hmm. And the mode of ignorance, the spark goes into water. Just goes out immediately. Right? Mode of passion, the spark goes onto cement and it gradually goes out. Mode of goodness, you put a spark into the dry grass and then immediately the fire comes up. Right? So sometimes we meet people like that. They're like dry grass. As soon as you give them the shoulder, oh, this is very interesting. I like this. Yeah. Then you start preaching, oh, this is very good. I like what you're saying. This is what I want. You meet people like that and you don't get their information, it's not good. That we have to try to inspire them to become devotees. There was one person who was a member of Jehovah's Witnesses, which is, I don't know if you have those here, but they're all over the world. They go door to door and they try to convince people to join their religion. And what they mainly focus on is getting people to join. So one person, he became a devotee, he used to be a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, you know, you guys are really good at getting the message out, but you're really lacking on bringing people in. So this is where we have to work on more, actually bringing them in under the shelter of Krishna. So is there any other question? Or comment?
Yeah, there's no question.
Yes.
I know I'm devotee, who doesn't have much interest to read the books. But he very eager to give books to others as a this change. If you read the books, you become Krishna conscious. What about it?
Well, there's some people that are like that. I mean, I know a few devotees like that. They're completely convinced. Krishna is God. I'm a spirit soul. Everybody's a spirit soul. Everybody should get a book about Krishna. But they don't read Prabhupada's books. that's rare. But what can you do? You can't force them. Right? You can't take their head and put a book in there and listen. Read. We can't do that. All we can do is try to encourage them to read. And if they can't read, then what can we do? They want to distribute books. You know, there's just some people that just, they don't need that daily encouragement. It's just there in their heart, you know. This is important and I'm just going to do it. And that's it. So, one other question, I believe? Yeah.
My question is, where in America, where in USA, is the best situation to distribute books? In your opinion, because you have traveled all over. So let's say, where is the place, really far the place in America?
The whole country. America is a very good place for book distribution. But actually, I'll take that back. The most difficult place to distribute books, I'll tell you the most difficult place, is San Diego and Los Angeles. Very difficult places. Because there are, I know devotees that travel all over America, and they say these are the most difficult places. Los Angeles and San Diego. San Francisco is better. But, the whole country is just like, it's really good though. It's very good. Florida also, maybe Florida a little more. Actually, no, I heard Florida's actually doing much better. But in general, America is very good. People are they're open for other ideas. Yes?
Sometimes some people won't convince. If I tell them, please take this book and after convincing them, they told them, no, I can't read books, I never read books, I don't want to read books. He says like that, I used to say, see, if you don't want to read the book, please don't read it. But are you want to get the benefit or not? No, but I want to get the benefit, but I can't read the books. I know that you can take 108 books and you can distribute to 108 persons. It will benefit you. Such type of answers I used to give and I used to encourage them. Whether you did good or not.
No, that's okay. You can, If they, I'm not going to read the book. Well, give it to somebody else then. Help somebody else. That's okay. But you have to do it in a nice way. Don't do it in like a heavy way. But this is you could say like Vaishnava Prabhu said, this will just to have it in your home, because they know the value of the book, especially Indians, they know that just to have a book in your home, that's good, that's auspicious, right? I mean, most of them, they have this faith. So this is another thing you could say to the people, ah, I don't read books, that's all right, just put it in your bookshelf and it'll be very auspicious to be in your home. And another thing, what I say, when they say, well, I don't read books, I tell them, listen, books are very patient. Just put it in your bookshelf. You never know. Someday you may pick it up. It's just waiting there. It's very patient. Yes.
In India, the problem is that the Bhagavad Gita is already in every home there, other editions. There are so many editions. So it's very difficult to convince them to take another edition of Bhagavad Gita. How to convince them?
Yeah. What I usually tell them is that there's already so many translations of the Bhagavad Gita, but the Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada, this is the only Bhagavad Gita as it is that's translated into practically every language in the world and has convinced Westerners to be devotees of Krishna. Whereas these other translations of the Bhagavad Gita didn't convince, I mean maybe some Hindus, but not in the West. This is the only one that has convinced people not only in the West but all over the world to be devotees of Krishna. So you can say like that. Okay?
Guruji, sometimes people don't want to read. And you answer that they keep the book. They say, we have already. Yeah.
Well then, all right. Then you go to the next person. At one point you have to, all right, this person's not going to take a book. You can't just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Then you get frustrated also. Some people aren't ready. You know, just like if you want to a nice, juicy mango from a tree, but the mangoes are green. What do? You leave it there, right? Just leave it there, and eventually it's going to become nice, juicy mango. So some people are green. They're not ready. They'll leave them alone. Maybe in the future, they'll become ripe. They'll be ready. But now they're green, then leave them alone. It's okay. Then go on, you'll find somebody that's juicy, you know, that's ripe, ready to receive one of Prabhupada's books.
Mm. Yes, about Devashakti Mata's book description. So, in Ram Ravamiya, temple opening, she was giving us a class. So she was told, Prabhupada gave her service to her and her husband also to go to university and library to distribute the books. So they always is traveling. So when came back to Vrindavan, so Mataji sent her husband to Prabhupada. They asked Prabhupada to give us some deity for worshiping to traveling because we are missing the deity. So Prabhupada and her husband went to Prabhupada and asked for her demand. So Prabhupada said, deity, my books are a deity.
Ah,
so yeah. Worship the books and give this deity to others. So that's why she is now, or continue distributing books.
Yeah, yeah, these books are non-different than the deity. The knowledge is non-different than the deity. So, yeah, I quite often repeat that when I give seminars. That, because not many people, although, what is there, 50,000? What is the population here in Vrindavan? 60,000, 70,000? Something like that. But a lot of, you know, some people come, but not ever. So we actually go out and distribute. We bring the deity to the people. Especially in other words, here in Vrindavan, a lot of people come to the temple because it's the land of Vrindavan. This is pious. You know, people are very, very auspicious. People are interested in Krishna. But especially other places in the world, people don't come. So we go out and we bring the deity to them. So, and therefore we should also have great respect for these books. Sometimes I go to book rooms and I see the books are laid all over the place and, you know, it's not nice and, you know, when you go, the book room should be so clean, it should be so neat, it should be like you're walking in, because they're deities, they should be like very, very paka, very clean. sometimes I'm shocked about how the books are taken care of in the book room. Okay, last one. Okay, I think there's a Bhagavad Gita class starting. We're supposed to actually be going right now.
First of all, sorry for this question. Prabhuji, as you mentioned, difficulty is the price what we pay.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case, the devotees like you, the seniors, made our situation such a way that we do not have such difficulties what at your time you faced. We are very safe, we are very fine, we are very softly doing our devotional life and devotional services. What we are getting?
He wants more austerity. Yeah. All right, he just let it out, so now you know. Yeah.
So what can we, what is the price we can pay? Because we do not
consider... Are you distributing books?
Last year, December, I have distributed. December only 1 month.
Okay, well, you got to put him on book distribution. He's ready to get into the fire of book distribution. So that's good. That's very healthy that you have this desire to engage in some austerities. Prabhupada said that for one who is desiring a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, advancement will be very slow. For one who is desiring a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, advancement will be very slow. So we should, and Prabhupada said, I chose the DBC members by whomever I saw desired to go out of their way, engage austerities, to spread Krishna consciousness. So, and this is the greatest austerity, actually, trying to give Krishna to others. Of course, it's also the, once you surrender to it, it becomes the greatest pleasure. I mean, by far, my most wonderful experiences have been on book distribution. By far. Ecstatic activity, but you got to surrender. Sometimes that's the hard part. And not that you just surrender and then, all right, I surrender, but every day you got to surrender. You got to pray to Krishna. That's the main key to book distribution. You have to pray to Krishna. Krishna, please help me to be an instrument in your hands. Help me to distribute this understanding, this knowledge to help the conditioned souls.
Prabhupada, I never
felt
difficult in book distribution.
Wow, it's a special soul. Past life, yeah. All right, that means he should do more book distribution then. So he wants more austerity, more book distribution. Of course, then it'll probably be nicer for him, yeah. And then you're very good. You keep on, if you have this mood, and you feel very comfortable distributing books, then that you're very fortunate. Because most people, it's a little bit different. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Yeah.